Thank you, ladies, very much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will. I usually do more of a cross message on the days that we observe the communion, and we will hear. But I preached a message last week and got about two-thirds of the way done, and I just felt like I didn't want to wait another week to finish the thought. So I'm going to finish this thought, and we're going to call it the paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness. Let me read, though, first out of Matthew chapter 7, and we will try to roll through last week real quick, get that back in our mind, because I want you to see two more things. I think it's really going to be a help to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we have two verses. It says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereout." Why? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now let me walk through that one more time. It says, "Enter in at the straight gate." Notice the spelling. It's not just an old-fashioned spelling of the word straight. It's S-T-R-A-I-T, which means the same thing as a straight jacket. To be confined, to be restricted, to have your options limited, if you will. To not be able to move, to have just a small little space where you can move into. It says, straight is the gate. Now, I believe the gate there is the entrance of the path of righteousness. The gate is Jesus Christ. He's the door. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the straight gate. And then you have wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereout. Why? Because many go in the broad way because they miss this little straight gate, this little narrow way. It can't be right. Nobody's going in there. You sure that's the way to go in there? We were at a restaurant one time, getting out where it was, and you expected the door to be right there on front, but you had to walk all the way around, and here come around this other side there, and then inside this little side door, that was the entrance to the restaurant. Now, most of us said, well, that can't be right. In fact, we kind of thought, well, that can't be right. Look at that. That can't be the right thing. But listen, if you wanted to eat, that was the way you had to go. And so same thing goes here. If you want life, there's a little path that we have to go. There's many people miss it. And it says, there's a way that leadeth unto life, but few there be that find it. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about the paths of righteousness this morning. Listen closely to it. I'm going to talk fast, but I want you to listen to it. It'll be a blessing to you. I really believe it will be. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings and the way you speak to us. We thank you that to live to Christ is Christ and to die is gain. And that as we walk this pathway of life, Lord, there's a lot of things we don't understand. But we'll step in the light as you are the light. We will be led to where we need to be on the paths of righteousness. And just as it says in the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and then we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Lord, we're not walking the path to get salvation. That comes when we walk through the gate. Jesus Christ is the door. But that puts us on the path. And, Lord, there's a path as Christians you give us, a path that's a wonderful path to lead us through these old years, through the wilderness of this world, that we may get to the promised land. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. I need your Holy Spirit to move and give us what we need here this morning. Everybody comes here with different needs this morning, and Lord, I can't address all those needs, but you surely can. And so once again, we ask you to do so. So we ask you to speak to our hearts. We'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I mentioned last week when you drive down through Dover here, you're on Main Street, but you're also on a road that's called Carlisle Road. If you travel up this way, you will eventually go right straight to Carlisle, and so it's Carlisle Road. In fact, there's a lot of Carlisle roads around here. Apparently, all roads lead to Carlisle. But anyway, they all go to Carlisle Road. Then there's Route 74, same road.
And according to the state of Pennsylvania, we've got this main road called 74. So there's several names depending on what you're trying to accomplish on this road. Now, there is a path, a road, a way of righteousness that God wants us to take. Now, I understand that we are not saved by works. We're not saved by not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might. You might think about it. No. You trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have salvation. Now that gets you going into heaven. Now the problem is, I got saved when I was 11. Now I'll be honest with you, this is kind of a crazy story, but when I was a kid, I guess I probably was hardly even a teen. I had gotten saved and I knew I was saved, and I'll be honest with you, I was struggling with this one day, and I was trying to explain to my mom. She was saved, had been saved about a year before I was, and she says, "What are you worried about?" I said, "Well, you're afraid you're going to mess up. Now that you're saved, you're going to mess up before Jesus comes back, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to mess up." "Well, you're going to mess up. That's why we got 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But I feel like I was afraid. I was afraid that I was going to mess up. In fact, I had this dream one night that Jesus was coming back. It's crazy. You've heard me tell this dream. But in the middle of this dream, I walk up behind all these people. It's like there's a parade, but they're all looking up. And all of a sudden, I hear this. They said, "This is it. This is it." And the Goodyear blimp comes by. I'm serious. And on the side is these running lights. It says, "He's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." We're supposed to hear a trumpet, but I had the Goodyear blimp. And I wasn't a theologian yet there. But anyway, and I got so excited that the Lord was coming, we were all going up. And then I woke up, and I was so disappointed. Now, what I'm getting at is, between the time we get saved and the time we go home to glory, there's a path that we're supposed to live. We live that path that's going to help us, first of all, be a witness, win others to Christ. Brother Nathan was talking about being a peacemaker. He said, "Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." How we know who our father is? Because we act like our daddy. And we're peacemakers, we're acting like our daddy. We have a path we're supposed to go on. Now, in here, Jesus is saying, now there's a straight gate. It's narrow. There's almost like obstacles. Like you have to kind of ease down through. It's like some of these little grocery stores. Like we grew up, Janet grew up in one dental town called Silver Run, and there was a little store down the road there called Moffitt's Store, and it was one of those little stores. We had one down in Hampstead. It was called Bob's Variety Store. And it was a long little shotgun thing. I think it was a bowling alley one time. But it was a shotgun little store. And you know what? There's things you think, "Well, I can't find this anywhere." Go to Bob's. He'll have it. Sure enough, it was one of those little general store type things. And he had stuff everywhere. And sometimes you had to walk down the aisle like this to get where you needed to be. But the fact is, what you wanted was down there if you were willing to go down that little path. And he says there's a straight gate that gets us in the door. That's Jesus Christ. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But he says there's a straight gate. For wide is the gate, though, and then it says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's a spot that everybody's going through, and that's not going to get you where you want to be. And then it goes down to verse 14. He says, because straight is the gate, watch, and narrow is the way. That word narrow is almost like you're so pushed in. You're restricted. You're limited in what you can do. Very few people ever see the narrow way in the midst of the broad way. Their eyes are all looking at what's going on in the world. this narrow way seems like an obstructed way. It's this little tiny path. You used to talk about the path path untaken. How's that phrase? What's that phrase? Road untaken. Not taken. Whatever. It's the one you don't go down. Everybody else is going down this way, and there's this road. And the Lord says, that's the one that's going to get you there. Now, the narrow way, believe it or not, is the through way. It may be skinny, but if I stay on it, I will end up where I'm supposed to be. The problem with the broad way, first of all, it's not the narrow way. It's headed someplace else. But even if it looks like it's heading in the same direction, there are all these, it looks wider, but there's all these little options here and there and yon. And we think, well, we're just going to take this path and we'll be all right. All roads lead to heaven, don't they? No, they don't. No, they don't. Not on all roads don't lead to life. When I say life, not only eternal life, but a good life here. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. You know, there aren't many choices on the narrow way. So it's pretty hard to get off. Because you get on there, if you stay on the narrow way, you're going to end up right where you need to be. Now, there are a lot of choices on the broad way. The problem is there's not many right choices, if any right choices. There are very few options on the narrow way. And as Christians, watch me. If I'm on the narrow way, I don't have to worry about making a whole lot of decisions because the narrow way doesn't give me a whole lot of choices. You see, we say, I don't like that. But the fact is, if it's going to get me where I need to be in my life, then it's exactly where I need to be. The broad way, we think, well, it doesn't have this restriction. It doesn't have this problem. We don't ask this. He doesn't have this going on. I can do as I want. You feel like it's freedom. The problem is the broad way has too many choices. If I have too many choices, I'm too likely to do wrong. And when I do wrong, I reap what I sow. And I'm going to end up having myself a life full of problems. The Lord says, these are your options. And these are not your options. This is what you can do. This is what you can't. But when it's all said and done, you're going to end up where you wanted to be. Now, there's another way of looking at this path. The path is a straight path. It's a narrow path. It's limited in much what we do. Then we came to Psalm 23, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, my boss, the one who tells me what to do. I shall not. Oh. So when I let him be my boss, he's going to take care of me. Now, if he's not my boss, I can't claim the promise that he's going to take care of me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's his goal in my life, to get me to the green pastures and the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'm sorry, back up. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He's trying to get me to the green pastures. He's trying to get me to the still waters. And the way you get to that part is down the paths of righteousness. I think it's interesting he calls it paths of righteousness. You say, well, I thought it was one path. I think the paths of righteousness is kind of like the roads around here in York County. You start going down one of these little roads, and all of a sudden it takes a turn. Then you're up here, and it's just little road out through the woods, this tiny little path. It gets smaller and smaller. I was heading out to visit somebody, and it had rained. And to be honest with you, right at the edge of the pavement, it dropped straight down. And I'm just thinking, and it wasn't even a, there wasn't even a line in the middle of the road. And I'm thinking, I hope I don't meet anybody on this road. It's a little tiny road, and we're heading out this path, but the path is going to get me to the still waters and the green pastures. That's his goal in my life. And so this path, this narrow way, is the path of righteousness. Now watch it. The Lord calls this, it's this straight little narrow road, the path of righteousness. This is not the froward. You go through the book of Proverbs, I think maybe in Psalms, you'll see the word froward. That means not on the right road. Gone his own way. Like what was over there on that side. The grass is always greener. And so the goal is to get us to the green pastures, and so he's going to run us down the paths of righteousness. Now, I mentioned last week, sometimes the paths of righteousness, it says there, will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. There are sometimes the paths of righteousness are no fun. But it's the way you get to the green pastures and the still waters. And it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, what's he doing? He's keeping us on that little road. Well, this is going through a spot here. I don't like, Lord. Maybe we should go. No. Yeah, but it looks a whole lot safer. No. But there's no mud. No. And he and the shepherd is telling us, I've got to stay. Now, the problem is sometimes we'll fight the shepherd and do what we want anyway. And then we wonder why we end up in the briars. But he leads us in paths of righteousness. It's the righteousness that we're looking for. That narrow way is righteousness, not sinfulness. Righteousness, not worldliness. Listen, the broad way leads to destruction. The broad way leads to bad things in your life. And the only way I'm going to get to the green pastures is to stay on this little road here. And so I need to stay on the road. And we talked about that last week. Now let me give you two other points here this morning. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. So now, okay, so we have this little road. That's the only road that's going to get us where we want to be. It's the only, by the way, this little narrow road, it's the only one really going to give you a happy marriage. I mean, you can enjoy marriage. You think you got a happy marriage. You do it God's way, you're going to have a happy marriage. A happy life around the house. It's amazing what God can do. It gives you peace and joy in your heart when you know you're right with that Lord. And so you've got this narrow way, and the narrow way is the righteous way, doing it the way God wants us to do it. Now, how do I know where I'm supposed to be on this path? How do I know what righteousness is? Look what it says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So number three, we need to walk on the path of light. Walk on the path of light. Now there's this narrow road. That road is righteousness, the path of righteousness. Now how do I know if I'm on the road or if I'm not? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Proverbs 23, I'm sorry, 6:23, says it this way. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What's he saying? He's saying, when God gives me the commands, he's my good shepherd, taking his rod and his staff, saying, nope, 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 nope. That's not the narrow way. Get back over here. That road's not good. I know it's pretty. It looks great, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. You're going to have to stay on here. If you're going to get to the green pastures in life and the still waters in life, you're going to have to do this. So God uses his word to prod us, to keep us where we need to be. His word does that. Watch me. The word of God shines on the path of righteousness. You say, well, I can't see out there. You don't have to see far. You just need to see in front of your feet. Yeah, but this road out there, I mean, they've got poles and light looks like daylight out there. Yep. Well, don't you think it would make more sense to go out there and do that, what everybody else is doing? Not if I want to get where I want to go. See, God's word makes things clear. God's word is now shining on the Broadway. Devil's light might be, but God's word is now shining on the Broadway. You say, well, I know, I read the Bible and it says this little stupid little thing and they wants me to do. That doesn't seem like it's going to get me where I want to be. You do it. It's going to end up giving you the results that you want. As long as I'm walking where God is shining his light, I will be on the path of righteousness. And what he said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but goodness and mercy will follow me all the days, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Problem is, we get down in the valley and we get scared and we jump off that little road and say, well, listen, those people over there look like they're doing just fine. I'm going to go over there. But it's not going to get you where you want to go. Walking in the light, now listen to me, walking in the light simply means doing as Jesus does. Walking in the light means simply doing as Jesus does. In John 8:12, Jesus says this. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do what he does. Follow him. Well, what's that? The path of righteousness. We need light if we're going to walk where we need to walk. John 11:10 says this, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. 1 John 1:5 says it this way, this then is a message which we have heard of him, declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he's the epitome of light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. We can claim we're walking on the same road as Jesus is, but if we're walking in the darkness, we're not walking where the light is telling us to walk, we're not with him. Oh, yeah, we're just like, no, you're not. You cannot claim it. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, well, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. So what's he saying? We want to say we're walking where he's walking, but we're not walking on a path of righteousness. We're walking on a path of the flesh, walking the path of the world. We're doing what everybody else is doing out there. We're allowing the sin to get in our life. We're allowing things to take over our love, our heart. And so we're not walking in the path of righteousness. We're not walking the path of righteousness. We're not walking with him. And we can't expect to have the green pastures and the still waters. It's not going to happen. When I walk away from that little narrow path of righteousness, I'm walking into darkness. Now hang tight with me. Darkness makes things shady. It obscures what we're seeing. Do you ever drive when at dusk know, when the sun's just almost dark, not quite. It's hard to see sometimes. Your eyes are kind of trying to decide whether, you know, there's light, whether there's not light, and shadows, and you think you see something that's not really there, and it's hard to see sometimes. You're driving at dusk. It shades it. But watch, the further I go into the darkness, the more things become obscured. And the more things become obscured, the less I will understand. Are you following me here? So we've got the light, we got a path of light. God says in the Word of God, this is what I want you to do, Sterling, because this is the righteous thing to do. This is where I want you to live your life, walk through life in. Yeah, but I see a little something over here that's interesting. So I'm walking in the darkness. And then we walk a little further. And it starts to obscure what we're seeing, so then we don't understand things. We don't. It becomes harder to understand what we're seeing. Watch. The less I understand, the more I become confused. And the more I become confused, the more mistakes I will make. And the more mistakes I make, the more damage I will cause to myself and others. Why? There's this little straight, narrow way. Not a whole lot of options. But it's the path of righteousness. And if I walk in the path of righteousness, I will have the still waters and the green pastures. Goodness and mercy will be following me all the days of my life. And I'll just be able to walk right on in. Now, I've got a home in heaven, but I'd like to be a nice trip getting in there. But if I decide I'm going to walk in the darkness, I don't understand life the way I should. And the further I walk into the darkness, the more confused I get and the more mistakes we make. Listen, surely goodness and mercy is not following me. Now, I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but the other passes seem so much more inviting. But it's not going to get you where you want to go. All the hurt comes just because I wanted to expand my horizons, not be restricted by the limitations of this little path of righteousness. And I'm sure all of us feel the squeeze on our freedom at times when we think that the narrow way is just too narrow-minded. Now, I think sometimes we put some narrowing on the path that God doesn't. I will say that. I think man puts some things on there that's not necessarily in his word. And we make things maybe more difficult on ourselves than we should. But the Lord says it, whether we agree with it or not, that's the path of righteousness. Now, it may feel a little uncomfortable, that little path, but it will get us safely where we need to go without destruction and without the corruption that's in the world through lust. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And so he said, you're walking in light. You should be seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Goodness. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked." That's the broad way. "Go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief." They sleep and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble." So this little path is kind of boring. I'll take boring over the drama that some people have in their life. I'm going to go home to a wife that loves me. We had the family, a bunch of our family over our house there yesterday, and of course last week, Hannah and Steve were in town. There are three little ones. Now, you have sinners and all packed up in one room, you'll always have a little bit of issue. I understand that. But it's good times. And then you got other families where you've got all this contention and drama and inner fighting and all this stuff. All because we want what we want when we want it and how we want it. That's the broad way. It says, I know this seems limited. But you know what? In the context of that limitation, you're going to feel freedom. I think we forget that freedom is in the context of law. Let's take out, okay, storm comes through. All the electric goes out. We lose all the traffic lights between here and Route 30. As mid-afternoon, it is rush hour, and everybody wants to get home, and there's no traffic lights. Well, great! I'll be able to go straight down there without any problem at all. Not alive. Right? Because there's actually peace in the context of the law, because now you know where you stand. You know what truth is. You know the limitations. You know what you have. God, listen, what God only sheds light on the paths where we're supposed to be walking. Now the Lord is not making things clear in your life. You say, of course, darkness makes it confusing. If the Lord's not making things clear, then He needs to shine more light on things before you move. Sometimes you say, Lord, I want to go over there. Shine some light over there. And He doesn't. He's not answering my prayer. Shine some light over there, Lord. Maybe that's not anywhere near where you're supposed to be. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, there's a straight and narrow way. That straight and narrow is called the path of righteousness. And the Word of God shines light on the path of righteousness so we know where it is and where to step. And when we walk in the path of righteousness, we are walking where God walks. Jesus said, follow me. Now watch me. When we walk where God walks, then we can take His yoke upon us. For His yoke is easy and His burden light. Number four, it is the last one. So there's a straight and narrow way. It's limited. But that is the path of righteousness. We know where to walk in the path of righteousness because we walk in the light of God's Word. Now when we are on the path of righteousness, walking in the light of God's Word, that's where God is, because in Him is no darkness at all. We have fellowship with Him, we're going to walk in the light, right? That is how you walk in the Spirit. People say, well, how do you walk in the Spirit? You say, walk in the Spirit, you're off the field of the lust of the flesh. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You walk where the Spirit of God in His book tells us to walk. The Spirit is not walking out here in darkness. The Spirit is walking over here in the light. When you walk in the light, you're walking where He is. You walk where He is, you're walking with Him, and you're walking in the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, watch, I am walking in the little path of righteousness. And when I walk in the path of righteousness, I'm walking in the light. And when I walk in the light, life is not obscure. Things are going to be clearer to me. That is because the Spirit of God walks in the light. John 6:16-13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. The Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. When I walk in the Spirit of God, I am not walking in the... When I walk in the Spirit of God, I am walking in the power of God, which helps me walk in the righteousness of God. Have you ever flown out of some of these big airports? They have these moving sidewalks, they call them. You ever see that? They look like an escalator that's all flattened out. All right? And so they got these long corridors, and you got to get from here to here, you know. They give you, you know, 3 minutes to get off of this airplane and go over there and get on that airplane, and it's three, and it's, you know, three sections down, you know, three gates, not just three gates, but three sections down and so forth. But anyway, so you get on these. I remember the first time I saw one of these things. And there were some who were going down the middle. Well, I got on this thing, and I'm walking too, and it's moving. You know, and so I was making good time. Now the fact is, I'm going where I need to go. I'm on the path where I'm supposed to be to get me to the gate where I need to go. Now, the fact is, when I'm on that narrow way and I'm in the Spirit is like that little mobile sidewalk. You say, well, that path of righteousness is hard. Do it in the Spirit. All of a sudden, He starts to help carry you through life. Now listen to me. Watch me, I'm almost done. I was moving in the path, right? But watch, I follow the light of God's word, but built into this little straight and narrow path of righteousness is the power of the Spirit of God that carries us along and allows us to do things we would never be able to do on our own. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will pour out my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that I was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that's the broad way, is death. But to be spiritually minded, that's the limited by the truth of God. The spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. In other words, it's not walking according to the restrictions of God's word. Neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If his Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because is the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Righteousness, which has been revealed by the light of God's word. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will be on the path of righteousness, not on the broad way. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now watch, you cannot be on the broad road and the narrow road at the same time. And if you try, you're going to surely have a wreck. Now the works of the flesh are these, manifest are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we get, this is where we're going to have the green pastures and the still waters, the peace in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be the desires of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we have the straight and narrow way. That straight and narrow way is the path of righteousness. If I want to know what righteousness is, I let the Word of God shine light on what it is. And when I'm walking in the light of God's Word, I will be walking in the Spirit of God and have His power. Now, the Lord's will for us is a walk in a path of righteousness so we enjoy the green pastures and the still water. He wants what's good in your life. Well, He says all these restrictions. I can't do this. I can't. He wants what's good in your life. Why don't we let our kids go out and stay out all night? 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock at night. Because once it gets to a certain time, there's no good's going to happen. Well, you don't love me. If you love me, I love you. That's why I'm not letting you do that. God has a plan. God is prodding us with the rod and the staff of His Word to keep us on the paths of righteousness. He limits us. That's good. Now, if you want to make sure you're on the path of righteousness, simply follow the light of God's Word. Now, if you walk in the light, you will be on the path of righteousness. And if you are on the path of righteousness, you will be walking the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will have the power to walk in the path of righteousness. You see, it all fits together. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. If you do not fulfill the lust of flesh, you will not be subject to the corruption that's in the world through lust. John 10:11 says this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And He's leading us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though it may feel like the valley of the shadow of death, no sense in fear and evil, because it's the path of righteousness that leads through the green pastures and the still waters. And so you say, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. What decision am I supposed to be making in life? How am I supposed to do this? Oh, don't worry about it. His rod and His staff will tell you what to do. Well, that's comforting. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The path of righteousness. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts here this morning. May we follow these paths. Let the Word give us light. May our folks be able to praise the Lord, knowing that mercy and goodness has followed them all their days. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are